You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 747 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of USDF, the United States Dressage Federation, on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
On tonight's show, I am so excited we're talking to my fiance, A.V. Vertusio, on rider fitness. Then we get updated by Ellie Bremer, the president of USPEA, on the Paralympics. And then Reese and I give a great book review on The Horse in Positive Tension by Stefan Stammer. Be sure to listen in.
This is Reese Koffler-Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin. And you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
And Megan, we have a special guest tonight. We have Glenn the Geek, the head boss man. He's on the show. Hi, Glenn. Woo-woo. Welcome.
Hey, guys. It's good to be here again. And we're talking about something that's coming up very, very quickly.
I know. It's exciting.
It's Olympics time already. You know, yeah, it's only like yes. Less than 2 months away. It's
oh my gosh,
the
so
end of July. So
I need to like bank my sleep because I'll be sitting there at like 3 a.m. and well, I'm like, I don't care.
I was just thinking they're 6 hours ahead, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So thrilled. I mean, at 6 a.m. we're going to be like, I'm going to be up. Like I do not get sleep for the, 3 weeks of
so
the
are
Olympics.
They, is Paris 5 or 6 hours ahead now? I don't remember.
I think it's six.
But okay, so Paris time. Oh, it is six. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be early.
It's going to be early, but I don't care. I don't
we
care.
We can watch it.
The Olympic schedule, the schedule's up, isn't it?
Yeah,
Glenn?
The schedule's up. So now eventing's always first and it goes first. That starts Friday, July 26th. And then the dressage starts, they do first and horse inspection on July 28th. Mm-hmm. And then they do first team and individual qualifiers. They're doing it a little differently this year, I think. And that's on July 30th. So
yeah,
the 30th, 31st, and then the Grand Prix special will be August the 3rd. So there you go. There's going to be a whole lot of dressage, eventing, jumping going on. Jumping's always last, so that'll be after that. Yeah. And that ends on August the 6th.
Yeah, and they picked the eventing team today, right?
Yeah, so they did. Of course, you got Will Coleman in there Off the Record, who we kind of expected. And we have Boyd Martin in there. He had a couple of horses that were going to qualify. He's taken Fetterman B. That's who is first up, and then he has the reserve of Commando 3.
Okay.
So Carolyn, he used to be Martin, whose last name I can never say. I wish you would have kept it Martin. Pamuku, I think is how you say it. And she has HSH Blake. That's her Irish sport horse. And then Liz Holliday with Cooley awesome. Nutcrackers. And that's an Irish sport horse also. So she's going to be there. Liz Holliday, of course, hosted the eventing radio show for us for years. And, you know, Liz was one of our first guests on the Horse Radio Network, Helena and I, back in 2008. 2009.
Oh
and
wow.
she was doing eventing part-time then. A lot of people may not know that she was a Formula One race car driver. And then, she would do the 24-hour Le Mans stuff. And then she was an announcer for Le Mans for a lot of years. So she would be on the side calling the races and stuff. And they just did Monaco. That just happened, the race over there. So, yeah, so Liz now is full-time eventer. And, she does all right. She's going to the Olympics. So,
And she lives in Lexington. I mean, she's on the other side of town, but she lives here. So it's fun to get to see her at the local events as well.
She is fearless. I mean, as you would expect from a Formula One driver,
again,
right?
I'm now watched the Netflix documentary on Formula One, so I'm an expert. And I love it. I love it. I mean, I am just like, shoo, shoo. I'm like into it. I'm like, this is great. I love it.
So that's your team.
I love it. That's the eventing team. And now we're watching, you know, again, if you're on Facebook, you get to see some of these riders. But right now, our shortlist, who is Catherine Bates and Chandler and Haute Couture, Anna Buffini and Fiantini, Adrian Lyle on Helix, and Lars, it's a very long, Vonder, I'm going to say it right, Hundenwagen. Anyways,
Lars.
Lars So Adrian's got two horses, Anna Merrick, who, you know, again, all these guys are great and come on the show. We love them. Anna Merrick and Firefly, who was at the Pan Am Games. She did a great interview after the Pan Am. She's lovely. Marcus Erlaub on the horse named Jane, owned by Alice Tarjan. Endel Otts, he is on Zen Elite's Bohemian. And Stefan Peters on Soup and Casper are all over there. So horses and athletes must compete in a minimum of two CDIs between May 8th and June 25th, must compete in at least one of the following observation events, which is Le Mans, CDI 4-star, Hagen, CDI 3-star, Rotterdam, that's a CDIO 5-star. And the CDIO 5-star team competitors will be led by Chef de Keep Christine Traurig. And the final selections will be announced by June 25th. So it's very, very cool. So and everything. So exciting. All the nominations to the U.S. team are subject to approval by the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic committees. So all that's sort of in process right now. None of those competitions have started yet, but Megan, wait till they do, because we are going to be able to talk about them
this week.
Isn't it crazy, though, when you think about it, that they're the team selections a month before you go? I mean, what a whirlwind month. You're picked, and then, yeah, in a month, you're going to the Olympics.
Well, and a lot of them are already over there. So, you know, which is great because they will already have been, you know, they're in the climate. It's cold over there right now. I just saw a bunch of the riders and, you know, the horses in blankets and, you know,
it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold this
winter
week.
Winter coats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was not warm when I was there. Well, we had actually really nice weather when I was there, but then was going to get cold and rainy again. So yeah, they're already over there, which is great. And they, you know, already have their routines going and the horses are settled. So
have you guys seen the pictures of the grounds and
Stunning. Oh, I'm so
ride.
Oh, I just want to go. I mean, I just kind of want to go and enjoy Paris and let them stress out and just go drink wine.
I got to tell you, that has to be the most beautiful equestrian grounds for any Olympics ever. It's just
gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. I'm so jealous that I can't go. So anyone that's going, send me an email, reese@horseradionetwork.com. I want to hear about it and we want to have you on the show and I want a rundown of all of it. So mm-hmm. I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. And I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I get Olympic fever. I don't sleep seriously for 3 weeks. I just sit in the middle of the night and listen to the stories and cry. I mean, I'm just a hot mess.
Yeah. You watch a lot of different things. You don't just watch horses. You watch everything.
No, I love it all.
Yeah.
I love it all. I do. I think because we all understand, you know, we do a sport where we work so hard and I just respect any athlete that goes to the Olympics and the stories and any team. I mean, it is so hard in any sport to get there. And we just get such a small snapshot of their life. And I just love it. I'm so emotional the whole 3 weeks. It's awesome.
And NBC is promising again to do extensive coverage. They did pretty good last time. I mean, you can see a lot of the coverage. So it wasn't like the old days where you get an hour of horses every once a week, you know? So
Right.
Much better now.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, I'm excited. You're excited. Everybody's excited for the Olympics, and it's coming up really quick. Now, I don't know if you guys remember one other thing. Do you remember the opening ceremonies the last time they had it in Paris?
No.
Do you not remember the bubble people in the opening ceremonies?
Oh, briefly.
Do you remember they were in big clear bubbles that look like those things you roll down a hill in?
Yes.
It was the most bizarre opening ceremony ever.
Yeah. When was the last Olympics in Paris, Glenn?
Oh, I don't know the year, but I remember watching that. Jennifer and I still joke about the bubble people.
I know, but I love I watch it all. I watch everybody parade in. Again, if anybody wants to come watch the Olympics with me, come on over. Maple Crest Farm. I'm going to have it on all the time. I may move the TV into the barn, maybe into the arena. You never know.
You could in your arena just put a big screen at the end.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic. That would be great.
We'll see if the horses freak out at that. Well, good luck to everybody, and we look forward to hearing who the team is. And a little later in the show, we're going to talk Paralympics, which is coming up also. Well, Reese, I see who our commercial is coming up, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. And they've been with us forever since this show started, pretty much. But somebody else that's been with us a long time, too, as of right now. Your anniversary was a couple of days ago. You've been here 12 years.
Wow.
I have been here 12 years.
Congratulations.
This is maybe my longest. Thank you. Besides my actual job at Maplecrest, this is my longest job I've ever held.
It's my longest job too here. So I think we just forgot to quit, I guess.
Yeah, we forgot to quit. Well, I told Glenn I would quit after 3 months and I'm still here. And, you know, as we know, we're so happy to have Megan, and it's been a tough year here at the show, as we all know, but it is an honor to be here. And I think I learned this year just how much I love doing what we get to do. We get to talk to you guys. We get to do cool book reviews. We get to talk to amazing guests. And, you know, I just love it as part of my life. And I just honestly couldn't do without it. So, Glenn, thanks for keeping me. I'd like to say I'll do it another 12 years.
I'm glad you stayed. I wasn't sure you'd want to. But I wanted to tell you, not to get all serious, but Tryon Film Festival is has a podcast category this year for the first time. And I submitted our tribute episode to Phil for that.
Yeah.
Hopefully Phil wins.
I would love that. Oh my gosh. And then we are going to go to Tryon, because last time we were in Tryon, we were with Phil and Mare, and we had, for the World of Question Games, and we had quite a great time.
Like, it's an adventure.
It was an adventure, and we had the best Airbnb, and we all stayed together and just had a big time. Also with
you
the
guys
Canadian.
Were in with us, weren't you?
We were with you.
Yeah, that's
the Canadian endurance team.
I got at that farm out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, here on this farm in the middle of nowhere, and I mean, this invited us to have a big time, because we weren't going anywhere. We ate there. We drank a lot there. We were with the Canadian endurance team after all the drama.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
The
hurricane came, and we left right before. Phil was like, we're leaving. I was like, okay. Phil drove out. He was like, I'm driving. We're leaving. So we got back to Lexington, and Glenn was doing the hurricane daily weather. I mean, it was quite an event. And you know, I would love to win. Phil would be up there kind of laughing at us, but I know he loved this show also and loved all our guests, and I know he wanted to have us continue. So, but now we're so happy to have Megan, and it's just a whole fun, happy family. And gosh, 12 years. I truly can't believe how skinny I was when we started. But it's been such a joy, and it's been
fun.
That goes
for all of us, Reese. That's all of us.
Yeah, obviously we have grown a lot in 12 years.
We haven't gotten any younger either, for that matter.
No, we have not gotten any younger. And I think I've done almost 600 shows, right?
You've done almost 600 episodes.
Wow.
Which, by the way, puts you in probably the top 0.1% of all podcasters. Nobody makes it, you know. Podcasters make it to 7 episodes and quit usually. So, and I think I just saw a statistic for 100 episodes, it's like 5% of podcasters. So you have to be like 0.5% maybe make it to.
Wow, that's 0.5%. I've never been that.
Yeah. I mean, take it to 600. Yeah.
Well, again, cheers, everybody. Thanks for listening in and staying with us and being a part of our team. And we just love it. So we're going to keep bringing awesome content. Again, can't wait for Olympic content, everyone. Yeah. That's what we're gonna talk about. And great show. So thanks, Glenn. And we're going to have a break from Kentucky Performance Products and get into the show.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com. or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, tonight we have a very special guest. She comes on the show a lot and we love her, Ellie Brimmer. She is on the USEF Board of Directors and now she is the president of the U.S. Para Equestrian Association. Ellie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Nice to chat with you again, Reese.
I know. So, I mean, we had you on for USDF Volunteer of the Year, which was amazing. And I was there to see you get your award. It was so cool. But not only have you been Volunteer of the Year, now you are, God love you, you are the president of the USPEA. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, that's a huge organization and a huge jump for you as well.
Yeah, I've been on the USPEA board for the last couple years, and I'm Tina was very excited to hand off the reins to me, but we still have her. We haven't let her totally escape. She's still on the board. And basically, USPEA's mission is to help our developing grassroots athletes. And so, you know, we talk a lot, especially in Olympic year, about people that are doing a high performance track, but we really also need to remember the people that are the grassroots and the people that are coming up, and they need guidance as to how to get started. And so that's a lot of what USPEA does.
I love that. I love that. So tell me the transition. You guys have lots of fun new stuff going on. So tell us a little bit about that.
We have some great grants going on right now. We have a classification grant. We have some grants for people traveling to their first to CPEIs if they're just beginning, and some kind of horse show funding too. There nothing that's gonna like nothing huge, but it's definitely enough to get people started. We also have the Meg Mullen Equine. We have the Meg Mullen Memorial Grant, which helps pay for your first FEI horse passport. So there's a lot of, like, you know, it's nothing like a huge Carol Lavelle grant or anything like that, but it's some great opportunities to help people get started. And please go to our website, uspea.org, and you can look up our different grants and see if you possibly could fit in to get one. And we really want to give money to you guys. So go check it out.
And I don't know a lot about para, but if for the grassroots, for someone who's looking for an instructor, do you also, like USDF, have like a list of instructors? So someone like me could recommend to a student a way to become connected?
We do. And, you know, USDF has an instructor training program for para. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, what we do is dressage. We ride the same halts. We ride the same 20-meter circles as everybody else. And mm-hmm. The thing that's most important is somebody having a strong background and willing to be patient and also creative at the same time. And so anybody who's a dressage instructor that is willing to learn and adapt with their client can be a great para instructor. But it's also good if you're not sure where to start and you're not already in a program, you might be able to find somebody in your area that kind of has an understanding of para.
I love it. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, Ellie, we are kind of talking about the Olympics tonight, and we're early on in the process, but we wanted you to kind of come on and talk to us a little bit about sort of where we are, and the team has not been named yet, but tell us kind of where selections are for the Olympics.
Well, for the Paralympics, so I'm going to start by saying that it's important to note that the Paralympics are at the same venue as the Olympics, just 2 weeks mm-hmm. later. So it is really exciting. We get to have those same exciting views of Versailles and things like that. And because we are a little later than able-bodied, we do have a little more time in our selection process. But this next 2 weeks, we have our final two observation events for the riders that are based in Europe. There's a CPEDI in Hagen this next week. And then for the riders that are based in the U.S., we have a CPEDI up in Tryon about 2 weeks from now, which I am attending as well. So I'm as a rider. So I'm looking forward to that.
As a rider. Absolutely.
Yes. Which hat am I wearing?
Man. Yeah. Which of your mini hats are you wearing?
Yes. And so we have that. And then I was going to talk to you guys about, so it's a little different from able-bodied in that it's not, you know, able-bodied, you only have the one division at the Olympics. It's not like you have small tour or things like that too to consider, like you might have in a Pan Ams. So our para team is comprised of four riders. We are allocated four slots based on our showing at the World Championships in Denmark. So we have four riders that are allowed to attend, and then they all ride one test, and then they pick three to go on and count for the team scores. So it's a little more complicated. And also, because we have riders from the five grades, we have to pick one rider that's a three or lower. The grades go from one to five, one being the most disabled and five being the least. And then you can't have more than two riders from one grade, so you couldn't have a team of three grade ones. So there's a little more. So like everybody's like, don't you know who's going to be on the team? But there's a little more discretion in our selection criteria because of that. Because you're not only considering, you know, that team medal, you also get individual medals for each grade for our Grand Prix B, which is like the special, and then the freestyle. So you're trying to maximize your medal potential as well as a country. So
that makes sense.
We have some riders that I think we can have some. I don't want to jinx anything, but I think yes. We have some very, you know, I think as a country, as a whole, we have some really great riders, and we have some very strong medal potential. So it's going to be a very exciting Paralympics for us, I have a feeling, because we've worked really hard to get here. So.
Yes, you have. I mean, Ellie, do we have some riders to watch? I saw Becca Hart a couple weeks ago, and I was in Germany. She came and talked to my class. We were like 2 minutes down the road from her. It was super fun. I just happened to see her when we went to the show at Blidsfeld. She trains about 2 miles away. So I was able to kind of catch up with Becca. She's in Germany right now going to Hagen with two horses. What other riders do we have based in Europe right now?
In Europe, we have Kate Shoemaker. She's also a very strong contender for the team. And Kate actually coaches another one of our riders, Fiona Howard, who has not been on a team yet, but she is an extremely strong contender to be named to a team. And then also in Europe, we have Beatrice de Lavalette, who was our individual for Tokyo. So she is one to watch, too. Mm-hmm. So there's and it's also nice we have the same. I think we have the same panel that's going to be in Hagen as the one that's going to be in Tryon. So they're trying to match things up for our selection to make everything kind of. Everything pretty balanced as they possibly can without having to, you know, send horses back and forth across the pond and everything else.
Sure.
So
that sounds great.
And then in the United States, we have Roxanne Trunnell, who has a super exciting new young horse. I think she's definitely one to watch because, you know, she's the current, I guess it's considered the current world champion because she was gold medalist in Tokyo. So you definitely cannot count her out. And in the United States, we also have Cindy Scrinchy, who is also in the same program as Roxy and I. She's a grade five. And so she's been doing really well with a young horse of hers. She's got two horses. And let's see who else.
And Ellie, tell us about your horse. I got to throw you in here. I'm throwing you in. Yeah, tell us about your horse.
Well, I actually did not put in an application, but I have a nice little mare that I'm leasing because unfortunately, Reese just saw my mare and she's at the Spot Spy Coast doing some rehab. So you know,
I got to give her a kiss. You know? But she was actually taking a nap, and I was like, I was there for with another client, and I was like, Ellie, guess who I'm giving a kiss to? She was napping. She did not want to nap. She's
Well, she's a chestnut mare princess, so we know. But I have an opportunity to lease a really nice little Hanoverian mare from one of my trainer Andrea Woodard's clients. And so I've been really enjoying the process of riding her because she hasn't really been a show horse. She's been primarily a practice horse her whole life. So it's been nice, even though she's 14, it's her very first kind of show season. So we've thrown her into the deep end of the CDIs and she's really been a trooper, like figuring it out. So my goal is to aim her towards Lamplight, because I think that would be a really nice kind of cap to our season. It would be some great miles for her and for me. So mm-hmm. Right. We'll see.
That's fantastic. This sounds so exciting. I'm excited for you.
I know. Yeah. Fun summer. So Ellie, if our listeners have questions online, you know, want to get a hold of you or find uh-huh. more information about Para, you know, how do they do that?
So you can find my email, which is Ellie Brimmer, ELLIEBRIMMER at USPEA.org. And you can email me there, and I'm more than happy to chat with you or point you in direction for anything you need to know, para-wise.
Fantastic, awesome. Ellie. Thanks so much.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with fly predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, SPALDING-labs.com.
Well, tonight we have a very special guest. We have AV. He is the president of Lindenhof Fitness Academy, and he is Megan's fiance. AV, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled.
Yay!
We were teasing Megan before we got online. We're like, Glenn has the power to mute either one of us. So, you know, if you want to tell us some dish, we're ready.
Remember, I see you tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Who's making dinner?
No, me.
Well, yeah, AV, we are thrilled to have you because Megan and I being friends have watched your guys' journey and thrilled for you personally. But also, I want to hear how you guys met because you're a fitness guy and not a horse guy. Now you're a horse guy, but you were a fitness guy too. So how did you guys meet?
Well, we met through a mutual friend, and Megan can really, really tell you the story because she is just very animated. So it's funnier.
It's all about you tonight, babe.
Seriously, it's just funny from her. Coming from her, it's funny. Go for it, Megan.
Oh, come on now. We met on a blind date, really. I asked my friend Shelby, our mutual friend, who is a personal trainer as well as a rider, if she could set me up on a date, and she said, I have the perfect man for you, and it was AV. And that's how we met. And luckily, unfortunately, COVID had struck, but lucky for us, my mother could not drive me home from California. So AV was the white knight and stepped in and drove me home, and within 3 days knew the routine and was taking care of horses because he had nothing to do with horses. And now he is in charge of all the riders' fitness at our academy. So tell us about that, babe.
Well, first of all, I'd like to really get everyone on board with the fitness because I just see that a lot of riders out there, they're just really spending money on their horses, right? And not on themselves, especially like where it's a physical sport, really, because you're under a heavy, like a very strong horse. I don't know how many pounds they are, but yeah, you have to have a good strength, good core strength, good balance. So that's really what I practice and just teach. And yeah, just I really, you know, just I want everyone to be aware, like have a body awareness for their horses. I don't know if you could hear the thunder, but
yeah. Poor AV is he's like outside on the roof. Megan's in her office. Like, you know, we got some real Jenga going on right now. Well, AV, let me ask you. I mean, it's so true. It's such, you know, I've had to be better about my fitness, and certainly I need to get on Megan's program because you have her looking amazing. But as I've gotten older, and we're both mid 40s, and you know, there's a point too where your body also, not only the strength, but the stretching and just awareness of sort of prior injuries. Mm-hmm. For me, I've had to
make workout more of a priority. So can you talk about that? Because that is so hard for riders. Like most of us are, I mean, Megan and I run companies, you know, they happen to be horse companies, but we run companies. So we're running around teaching lessons and doing inside stuff, trying to get the business running. And then, you know, having partners and relationships and all those things. So I find fitness for me is like the hardest thing to fit in. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Just fitness is really like important to everyone. You don't have to be a rider. But for riders, you have to have that balance, right? You have to find your weakness, where your strength is, and be one with the horse. Because for me, I'm not a rider. You know, I don't know much about riding. I can trail ride. That's about it. But I can really see when I see someone riding on a horse, right? Especially when Megan is training, I could see the rider being imbalanced, right? So they're a little off from one side. So what in dressage, just learning about dressage, I don't know much about it, but you need balance. You really do need balance, and you need to find where your weaknesses and your strengths are. So that's where I
talk about how when I have a lesson with someone, he usually works with riders before I teach them. And I see a huge difference. Maybe give an example on an exercise.
So we have a client and she comes in and sees me before she rides with Megan. And what happens is she has a better ride because of what we go through the workout. So what happens is when your body is just ready to go, your body, your muscles are just firing, everything works. Everything works where you want it to be, right? So that's where I come in, right? So I think for most riders, I'm not saying most, but I think some riders, they need that exercise. They need that muscle fire, right? So that activation. So to ride, I would have to say a lot of people don't have that. So it's just so important to exercise and just have a body awareness.
And give us an example of one of the exercises. I know for me, I learned there's about 20 different ways to do crunches, but you also are putting people on a ball.
Yeah, I put one of the students on a ball. And at first she was just so like imbalanced, right? She just didn't know, you know, her center. And so I told her, I go, just think of it as a horse, right? You're riding a horse, you're on the saddle. And then she just got it right away. So it was just really, really interesting when I told her that. I go, think of it as when you're riding a horse.
Yeah.
And so, it was just so funny that she got it and she was on it for about a minute.
So, Avi, when you talk about activating the muscles, like, I think this is so important because one of the things that I've learned that I don't do at all is riders are terrible about stretching specifically before they get on, or even, you know, like you said, activating the muscles. So is there anything specifically like someone can do 5-10 minutes before they get on or as their horse is sort of in the cross ties tacked up? Like, is there something that we can do to kind of turn on those muscles a little bit before we get on the horse?
I would say just do an exercise is pretty much like getting on a stability ball, right? Okay. So you get on a stability ball, get on it with your knees, right? On your knees, and then just find that balance to activate that core, to activate that pelvic, right? So that's the most important thing. I would say that would be the best warm-up or exercise that you could do.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe have an exercise ball sort of in the tack room kind of thing to do. Yeah. Is there anything else? Like I find specifically, I mean, this is not just talking for a friend. This is me in my 40s. I have a lot of trouble with my hips. You know, mm-hmm. I get really tight in my hips and that's just, right. You know, well, Megan and I are now going to sit for about 2.5 hours. You know, mm-hmm. we get up a little bit, but you know, when I sit on a plane or I drive, you know, I get out of my truck and I'm a mess. So, you know, to get out of my truck and have to get on some horses, it's not so easy anymore. Any tips for me and or anyone else that has the same problem?
Just the flexibility, you know, it's all down to flexibility. If you're not flexible enough, that means you will tighten up on your lower body, right? On your lower back. So when your lower back tightens, your hamstring tightens, and then everything else, you know, just goes south, right? And so what you need really is to just stretch, maybe get on a foam roller. So get on a foam roller or on a TRX. I have a few exercises on a TRX that I do some stretching with. So it's just amazing how people just react after that. They have a smile on their face right after.
Well, I mean, I don't know about anybody that's listening to this, but I am no ballerina on a foam roller. I'm just saying it is not pretty. I won't even let my husband be in the room. I'm like, get out. Sometimes my dog Winston can stay. So tell me, I mean, I just get on that. It's so painful. And I'm like stuck on the floor and it's not a fun feeling. Can you give us how do I not look or act like a beach whale on that?
Well,
I have one sitting right next to me. It's here. I look at it and it's here.
Reese, you have to keep doing it. That's the problem. You have
to keep doing it.
And then after a while, you will feel so much better when your muscles and that flexibility starts coming around.
After a month.
Maybe after a month. Right. It's just practice.
Out. I have kicked my husband out of the room because no one needs to see this. I'm going down on the floor. It takes a second to get down there. So then, AV, what do we do once we're on the floor? Okay, I'm there. I got my foam roll. It's right here, sitting right next to me. Actually, he's saying, come here, Reese. So what do I do? I mean, it's intimidating, right? That little foam thing staring at me right now is terrifying. What do I do?
For me personally, I start from my upper back, my shoulders, and then I work my way down and then all the way down to my lumbar and then to my glutes, my hamstrings. Then I do a figure four on that on the floor, of course, right?
You gotta get down there first.
And then turn, and then you want to tilt to the side, you want to twist to the side, little rotation to the side where it gets you that little bit more pressure on your gluteus. So
it's awful.
Yeah, exactly. You're just selling this right now. I can't wait to do this later. I will tell everybody next week how it went. Me going down on that foam roller to just, you know, roll around. How long should I be on this torture device, foam roller?
Okay, so personally, for me, I get on a foam roller for about a good 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
That's including the stretch.
Okay, in the 5 minutes to get on the floor. Yep. Okay, I'm at 15 now.
And the other thing AV's been doing is I made it a requirement. He has to work with my farrier, Aaron.
Ooh, yes.
And that's a big deal. And I highly recommend anyone who works with a farrier to recommend that they also stretch, foam roll, or even work out with a personal trainer like AV. And it was neat to see the first time he did it, Aaron came up to the academy, the fitness academy. And when he came back down to the barn, he had a huge smile on his face. And it's really important we take care of our farriers as well as our riders.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, everybody. I mean, and anybody in the barn. I mean, we all do really heavy things and we move heavy things. And I was actually talking with my trainer this morning and I was like, I wish I had met you in my 20s because I think if I would have met AV, my guy's Tony, if I would have met Tony in my 20s, I would not be in the position that I am today. I would have lifted things better. I would have not hurt my back. You know, all of those things that I was doing and wasn't strong enough or did it incorrectly or didn't bend my knees or whatever, you know, I wish I had taken. And I'm trying to be better. And my body forces me to have to work out a little bit and to focus on it because I literally can't walk sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody sort of, all of us are listening and, you know, a lot of my riders sit and they have computer jobs and they're on the computer for 8 hours and all tried it to do the right thing. So, you know, just having that foam roller, literally, like I said, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna text
if you have an inversion table, which is not really expensive anyway, I would suggest to use it. I would really recommend to use it.
Got it.
And you know what the inversion table is, right? the thing that just tilts you all the way.
But just, you know, I could use a little touch up. What it tells more.
So it just decompresses your spine. You know, when you get on the inversion table, it tilts you all the way back, just depending on how far back you want to be or how inverted you want to be, or just be totally inverted, like, you know, vertically. So, and it really just decompresses your spine, because with the ladder riders, I think, you know, when you're riding, especially when you're training, you're on a horse, you know, five hours or however many hours you're on, and your back and your lumbar is getting, you know, a lot of pressure, a lot of compression, right? Your pelvic.
Absolutely.
So, and it's just, I think it's just that, you know, tough on your lumbar, really, on your pelvic. So the inversion table would do such a great job.
And I highly recommend not to be alone with the inversion table. Have someone as a spotter. Because if you can't get up, you're going to be stuck there upside down.
This is true. This is true. And now, Ivy, you have also a system called the belly band system. What is that?
Bell band. Belly band.
The belly band is what we call the bands we use with the horses. That was my fault.
So bell band, I created the bell band because of my tendonitis due to just wear and tear on my elbows, right? So just over the year. And so I created this handle that attaches to resistance bands. And then what you can do with those is you can add free weights with them. So instead of having having a 5-pound pair of dumbbells, you add the bell bands to it, right? It cups into the handle, and then you add that resistance. So it's not, it doesn't give you that same load as you would do on a 10-pound, because so instead of like having a 10-pound, you would add the bell bands, and then it would add that resistance. So it's better for your joints, better for your muscles, you know, better for your heart as well. It really stabilizes your exercises too.
And it also helps fire the muscles. Like it is, it's wicked, and they definitely make you dance, but it's just like him training my students. Like it gets the muscles firing. And explain how you use the bands and then you set them down and then you use the weights.
So the bell bands, they may look like just your normal, you know, resistance bands, but what it is it's a unique pair of bands because of the handles. So what you do is you do 10 reps with the bands and the free weights combined, right? 10 or 15 reps, however many you can do. And then you drop the bands, let go of the bands, release the bands, and then pick up the free weights alone by itself. And then you do another 10 to 15 reps. So it really triggers your stabilizer muscles. And you start practicing how to activate those muscles.
I love it. Well, Avi, last question. How is it to train your fiance? Because my husband asked if he could have a riding. This is early on. We were probably engaged or dating. He's like, "Can I have a riding lesson?" I was like, "Absolutely not. That will never lead to good things." So I gotta know, how's Megan to train?
Be honest. Train.
Look at him. He's treading lightly, everybody.
He wants dinner tonight.
Yeah, he wants dinner.
I have to train her carefully.
I can only imagine. I am not nice. I just told you I'm not getting on that foam roller.
So she likes directions. She likes taking directions. So I'm just going to give it to her. I'm just going to give her the directions, you know?
Do you give her the directions, like run out the room? I mean, you know, and then about
she'll do whatever I tell her. I'm the boss. Aww.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, got it. Well, you have to. I mean, I think so anybody who works, with their spouse is laughing, because at that point, like, you know, I have a team, and sometimes I come in to help, but I have a team that they work together, and it's a husband and wife. And the wife gets to wear the training hat when she's training. And I think that is important for sure.
And so when Megan wants me in the barn, you know, helping out, hey, you know, I'm there for her. Right. Yeah. So I do whatever she says. when we're in the gym, it's okay. My area.
Fair. I love it. I think that's the best advice of the day. I love it. Well, Avi, tell us, if our listeners want to find you online, get some virtual help, et cetera, how do they find you online?
They can email me at bellbandsystem@gmail.com. That's BELLBAND as in dog, system, all in one word, and @gmail.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that US Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
Well, for this book review, Megan and I are doing it together. This is our first project together, isn't it, Megan?
It is.
I love it. We have some exciting changes in the book club. We're just going to tease it a little bit. So we're going to cover that at the end of the month. But we get to review The Horse in Positive Tension by Stefan Stamer. So Megan, what do you think? You got the book like 2 weeks ago, so you haven't had a ton of time to read it. But what were your impressions of the book?
I actually love the book. I thought it was an easy read and super helpful. I'm going to give it to my working students to read and all my instructors at Lindenhof. I thought it was really cool. There's a lot of diagrams. In the middle, it was a little dry.
A little technical. Yeah. I think it was more, it got real for a second. I actually had my niece, we were driving she was in the car with me, and I was like, hey, can you read this to me? I'm working on this book. And I was like, oh, that got real technical real quick. So got a little in the middle. But I loved it. I mean, starting with like, on page 70, actually, they started talking about like finding the right saddle. And this is when I like perked up. I don't know about you. I was like, whoa, I love this.
I really like the intro, because I don't know about you, but in Wisconsin, I feel like all the different disciplines, Western English, are divided. And he states in the beginning, good riding is good riding, and it doesn't matter what discipline you participate in, you need to know about positive tension. And yes. I think that was really cool for me that he combined all of us. Good riding is to strengthen our horses, versus even pleasure riding can actually damage our horses. If you don't know how to tilt the pelvis, you don't know what the thoracic sling is. So I was like, yeah, say it again for the people in the back. We're all together.
For all of us. The scale of training starts on page 91. And I thought that this was awesome, because he goes through literally the scale, which is our Bible. And I know you teach it. I teach it. Any certified instructor, or really any instructor, should be teaching the scale of training. So he literally broke it down for all the parts of the scale, which I think was really, really helpful, because he started talking about dressage horses. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he moved into, which I thought was awesome. If you do any jumping, or, you know, I do work with show jumpers. So, you know, he broke it down on developing positive tension in show jumpers. Then he broke it down in event horses, which I thought was great. Then he moved to endurance horses, which I have taught actually a few endurance riders some basic dressage, but then he talks about pleasure riding. So he literally goes into what to do, the long-legged, highly elastic thoroughbred type, and a horse with a long back he talks about. And this is when, guys, this is when I was like, oh, here I am. I'm in my element.
And then the short stocky horse, like, what does it mean for all these types of horses? And then he goes into hyperflexion, right? And Rolker.
Yeah, I like that he touched on that, you know, because horses, not the Rolker, but horses do go behind the vertical. And there are moments in training they choose to go there. The rider isn't pulling them there. And I love that. And it's also helpful to, like, oh, what do we need to strengthen? What is our horse telling us in those moments? So I'm glad he touched on it.
Me too, because, you know, I was teaching a clinic and I happened to have this book and I was reviewing it for our discussion today over the weekend. And I had a horse that was dropping behind the vertical a lot because it was also a young horse. It was a 4-year-old horse, right? Oh. She was also had shipped to the clinic. She, you know, she was probably a little fatigued in her back. I mean, it had been a big day for her, you know? And I think if you hadn't had kind of knew this information, and again, I was reading the book, so it was really easy to say, okay, look, this is what is happening. But if you had taken a snapshot of that horse, right, you may have thought the horse was, you know, obviously, you know, in hyperflexion or Rolker, which was not what was actually going on. The horse was just fatigued a little bit and needed, we gave her a little break, and then we did some transitions to try to engage her. And I think that was super helpful.
And to go back to what you had said, the saddle fit, what I love the most when he brought up saddle fit is how it's a team effort. And the other thing I found interesting is, and it makes logical sense when you think about it, but when you put the saddle on, it fits a certain way. But then when you go and ride, does the saddle still fit in motion? And I was like, oh, because my saddle fitter fits the saddle standing, and then she also watches. So I was like, yay for my saddle fitter. But also the vet should be included. I don't always take back x-rays, and they were like, oh, and then the trainer should be included if there's a PT, you know, and also the farrier. Hello. You know, so it really hit home to me. I was like, this is my book. And, you know, I love knowing what's going on the inside, even though at times, like, this isn't typically the book I would read with the diagrams and the scientific approach. But it was like, oh, wow, the classical principles are validated. Yay.
Yes. And again, like you said, the farrier, then it talked about how horses can have incorrect movement, right? And how important, right, having and understand the patterns of movement. I know that because I've happened to be working with my trainer on my, because I sometimes will have incorrect movement when my hip bothers me, right? Mm-hmm. So I know specifically what they're talking about because I'm like, oh, look, I do that too. Mm-hmm. And so talking about that was really interesting, and how, you know, some diagnostics, right? Some x-rays or some other things could be very helpful in figuring out, like, how do you want your farrier to, you know, how are there ways that the farrier can help? Are there ways the veterinarian can help? And that all horses will have crookedness, right? And how do you deal with that? So again, I completely agree and really felt like this book, and, you know, again, there's a scientific segment, and I guarantee I know a bunch of my riders that are going to love that segment. But I loved it when it transferred to, like, what we do, because it's like, oh, exactly. Like, this is what we needed to hear. And in riding in positive tension in training, right? What does that mean? Because at the end of the day, right, we are doing this all day long with our horses and teaching them how to do that. So I thought that was, again, worth your time and reading it.
The other great thing I thought too was the segment on rider fitness.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were saying, like, 70% of children, adults have bad posture, and just simply riding, staying in motion is what's great for us. And that's what our horses give us. So it doesn't matter if you're a serious competitor or if you're a pleasure rider, you're improving your posture and your fitness. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, yay.
Yeah, exactly. And talking about, like, what we talked about with AV earlier in the show on how, you know, rider fitness is a huge part, right? And being able to the feeling of feeling fit and the feeling of, you know, when I am fitter, I know I ride better, but I feel more confident in the saddle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's for all of my riders. I think we all feel that way. I think, you know, fitness is something I certainly work on, and my posture and how I sit on the horses and teaching, this is a huge part. You know, I know you and I work a lot on rider position, and yep. sometimes people say, oh, I've never had someone say that to me. And I think, how can they not say that to you? Like, I mean, I don't understand. Like, you know, they're like, oh, they work on my horse. But I certainly know you and I are big on how the riders sit on horses. And
that's the first thing. I mean, mm-hmm. because we affect our horses so much. So, yeah, that's one of the first things I focus in on. Is the horse safe, and can the rider work on their posture?
Right. And then there is also a segment on training, therapy, and rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all of us at some point have had horses in rehab. If you have not, great. But when you do, it's really frustrating, and having any resource you can about how can you rehab your horse better and make that horse better when they come back. And so there's a whole chapter 6, starting on 135, that he'll talk about this and talks about ways that you can rehab the horse. And yeah, it's cool. I think that that's a great resource. You know, he talks about, yeah, like ways to rehab them, you know, using the shoulder girdle, muscle movement, et cetera. So anyways, if you have a horse in rehab, this is a great chapter to look mm-hmm. at and to give you some really good ways of helping that horse. So I think there's a lot of great resources in this book. I did feel like for me, it was great to read a chapter or two and sort of digest it and just think about it and like, oh yeah, how does the saddle fit affect the horse and affect the way the riders ride, et cetera. But I absolutely think to me, I agree with you. It's a good book. It's a great resource to have, and one that we're also passing around the barn as well. So I think awesome. It's a good one. Yeah. So everybody enjoy. We hope you enjoyed this book club and our review of it, but The Horse in Positive Tension by Stefan Samer. Stay close about the book club. We got some very exciting announcements coming up in the next show or two, and we can't wait to share that with you. Well, everybody, as always, send us emails, send us shout outs on Facebook. We love it. And again, so happy to be here with you guys. As always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guest on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and you can get a hold of me at lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. And we'd like to thank our friends and our show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Savvy Feeders. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at thehorseradionetwork.com. And keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.